Book of Psalm, chapter 106, please. Book of Psalm, chapter 106. I'm trying to figure out why I got fishing line under my pulpit here. Really? Somebody's waiting for us to fill the baptistry and those fish to come back alive. All right, how are you this morning? Tell your neighbor how wonderful you are. Just go ahead and tell them. I'm great, how are you? Okay, Psalm chapter 106, we're going to be dealing with lying. No, we're not either. Chapter 106, I want to read here down to, I don't know where we'll stop at, about verse 15. Let us notice what Scripture says. By the way, this was something that they actually sang, and this would be sang often in one of their feast times as they were traveling from one spot to another. And notice what it says, "Praise ye the Lord, O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Who can utter the mighty acts of the Lord? Who can show forth all his praise? Blessed are they that keep judgment, and he that doeth righteousness at all times. Remember me, O Lord, with the favor that thou bearest unto thy people. O visit me with thy salvation, that I may see the good of thy chosen, that I may rejoice in the gladness of thy nation, that I may glory with thine inheritance. We have sinned with our fathers, we have committed iniquity, we have done wickedly. Our fathers understood not thy wonders in Egypt, they remembered not the multitude of thy mercies, but provoked him at the sea, even at the Red Sea. Nevertheless," aren't you glad for that word? "Nevertheless, he saved them for his name's sake, that he might make his mighty power to be known. He rebuked the Red Sea also, and it was dried up, so he led them through the depths as through the wilderness. And he saved them from the hand of him that hated them, and redeemed them from the hand of the enemy. And the waters covered their enemies, and there was not one of them left. Then believed they his words. They sang his praise. They soon forgot his words. They waited not for his counsel, but lusted exceedingly in the wilderness, and tempted God in the desert. And he gave them their request, but sent leanness unto their soul." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you. We can have in our hands this wonderful book called the Bible. We pray for your blessing these moments. Lord, anoint from above, for without the Holy Spirit we have really nothing. And so we pray for that wondrous power that will speak unto hearts. For we ask it in the name of our Savior. Amen. My text today is found in verse number 15, where it says, "He gave them their request, but sent leanness unto their soul." That particular verse reminds me of what Jesus said. We go back to the book of Matthew chapter 16. The Bible says, "Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it." Oftentimes we want our way, but when we will give over to God's way, what a blessedness it is. In the book of Matthew again, chapter 13, we find in verse number 22 that our selfish desires so often choke out the very Word of God that has been given to us to encourage us, to lead us, to direct us. Bible says, he also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. We look at this psalm and it speaks of the Israelites who are brought out of the land of Egypt. However, on their trip out of the land of Egypt, we find that they were very complaintive. In fact, we find that God, I believe, hates complaining attitudes. In fact, God wants us to be thankful. God wants us to be grateful for all that He is, for all that He's done. And so often, you and I, we try to go our own direction and complain about what God wants us to do or the direction God has for us. When God made man, he became a living soul in the likeness of God. But his appetite found him hiding behind fig leaves, thinking that he could become wise by eating of the fruit. He became a fool and thus turned away from God. I find from the scripture, and I find especially in this verse here, though God often grants to you and I our desires, when we're not seeking it for Him, it leaves us unsatisfied in our soul. They got their request, but sent leanness unto their soul. They'd forgot His works, we find in verse 13. They lusted in verse 14. They prayed. They got their request, but God gave them leanness in their soul. How many understand that the desire of the flesh, rather than the desire to draw closer to God, leaves us really in a place of leanness? We find here a truth that's portrayed throughout the Word of God. There is God's perfect and preferred will. But we also find from the Word of God, there is what we might describe as His permissive will. God will allow us our decisions, even though they be wrong decisions. It's of utmost importance that we seek God's perfect will, or it will cost us dearly. It will cost us, in the term of this verse, leanness. Understand something today. The perfect will of God is paid for by God. The permissive will of God is ours to pay for. It's the way that it works constantly. Let me give you a few illustrations. And I term the first one marriage or matrimony. The perfect will of God is what we might describe as monogamy. One man, one woman. Genesis 2:24 make it very plain, therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. I'm sorry for any that might be so-called modern day today, and you've been so enlightened that a man can cleave unto his husband. You are far from wrong. It is God's intention, it is God's desire. He made us male and female that one might cleave unto the other. However, we find that there's the permissive will of God, and this may be difficult to understand, but we find that God permits polygamy. When you go to the book of Deuteronomy 21, it says, if a man have two wives, one beloved and another hated. By the way, that shows a problem right away. If there's two, there's going to be one that's got priority over the other. And one and the other are going to not be in great harmony. His perfect will, I believe, is for purity in marriage. I find it interesting, Hebrews 13, verse number 4. It says this, marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled. But whoremongers and adulterers will God judge. These are words sometimes we shy away from in a public setting, but it is in the Word of God. And God wants us to understand something, that relationship between a husband and wife, it is an honorable thing. It is right. It is His perfect will. But we find also in this same verse, there is what we might describe as a permissive will. He says, but whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge. They will pay for their actions. Impurity will cost you. You say, what's a whoremonger? Well, it's simply this. It's one who seeks a prostitute or a whore. It's one who seeks after one who's willing to give of his sexual pleasure. Well, then what is a prostitute? Well, it's very simply one that gives her body outside of marriage. We find today so many cohabiting, and God is saying, no, you're whoremongers and adulteresses. And God's perfect will is within that marriage bed. And notice the word marriage. It's interesting as you go back to the Old Testament, but Abraham had a promise from God. That promise was that his seed would last throughout really the ages. And that has been a true statement. But in his old age, he still did not have that son. And his very wife says, well, take my handmaid, and you can have children by her. And so they sought a way around God's perfect will. They justified their sinful actions by saying this would fulfill the promise of God. But what do we know? There came as a result of that child generations of conflict between the Jew and those Arabic people that was born from Hagar. God has a perfect will, but He has a permissive will. He will allow. Why is He allowed? Because He's made you a what we sometimes call a free moral agent. In other words, you can make the right choice, or you can make the wrong choice. And you can choose to go against what God says, but it will cost you. It'll cost us dearly. I think about our choices of leadership. We go back to the Old Testament and we find that God had told the Jewish people when the time comes that He would give them a king. We find from Scripture that God's perfect will was a man named David. In 2 Samuel 7:16, he says, and thine house and thy kingdom shall be established forever before thee. Thy throne shall be established forever. However, the children of Israel, they wished to have one before God granted it. And so His permissive will allowed them to choose one from among themselves. One whom looked good, one whom seemed would have all the power and so forth that was needed to do the job. And the Bible says, nevertheless, the people refused to hear or obey the voice of Samuel. And they said, nay, but we will have a king over us. And that was King Saul. As a result of that choice, we find that there were many years of conflict that took place because they chose one whom was not God's choice. It's important for us to understand that there is the perfect will of God, but He will permit some other things. I've heard people sometimes say, well, I want to get this brand new whatever it is. Let's just say a car. And they say, God, if you let me have that, just show me a sign. And basically they're saying, whatever sign you show me. By the way, signs are for Jews. If you're a Jew, maybe you can ask for that. You ought to find out the sign when you don't have the money in the bank that it's already told you what you ought to do. But they will take anything. I mean, their dog barks at 12 o'clock on the dot. That must be God's sign that they can go ahead with this thing. Well, we make the wrong choices so often in our lives. Not only do we make that in marriage as an illustration, not only do we see that in monarchs, our choice of leadership, but I think in the area of materials or in the area of possessions. Think about Abraham for a moment. Rather than stay under the umbrella of Abraham, Lot grew discontent and left. His herdsmen and Abraham's herdsmen began to have conflict. And one is great, the other is not as great, but he wants to be in that position. And we find that out of that discontentment, some poor decisions were made. Obeying the permissive will of God, Lot, because Abraham said, go ahead and choose what you want, made his place as he pitched his tent towards Sodom. Oh, he paid dearly, did he not? We find that soon he was in a popular position. He sat in the gate, which is a term that basically was used in that time to describe the mayor of the city. He had a position of authority. And yet we find that in the process of going that direction, he lost his wife. He lost all of his children. We do not know how many, but two daughters were left. And what do we find from those two daughters? But they seeking to have children trick their father and go in and become pregnant through him. He should have stayed put under the authority that God gave him. They should have remained in that position. Oh, God permitted, but God's perfect will was not obeyed. In our text, we find that God gave them manna. You go back to the book of Exodus, chapter 16, the Bible says, the children of Israel did eat manna 40 years until they came to a land inhabited. They did eat manna until they came to the borders of the land of Canaan. What did God provide them with? Manna. We don't know exactly what it was, but we do know that God provided it, showing us that was God's will to feed his people with that which he basically caused to come with the dew on the ground every morning. But again, we find a people like Lot who become discontented with what they're having, and they wanted meat. In the book of Numbers, it describes it to us. It says, "In the mixed multitude that was among them fell a-lusting, and the children of Israel wept again and said, who shall give us flesh to eat?" Now what's interesting in that verse is the mixed multitude. They had not really come out from among all of those whom they should have been away from. And we find that there were unbelievers amongst them. As a result, their faith lagged. As a result, their belief that God's provided manna, they have a desire for flesh to eat. Interesting, God met that desire. He gave them their request, it says in verse 15. In Numbers 11:31 says, "And there went forth a wind from the Lord and brought quails from the sea and let them fall by the camp as it were a day's journey on this side and as it were a day's journey on the other side round about the camp and as it were 2 cubits high upon the face of the earth." And I don't know what you think, but I think that's a lot of quail. I've gone out hunting for quail. I've never had them fall at my feet. I've never ran upon great bunches of them. Oh, you might hit 8 or 10 come up. I don't know if I've ever shot a quail. I can't figure out which one to aim at. And by the time I do, he's too far away. And the other side of that is, I never thought they were worth a quarter. But they are very good meat. It's very rich, it's very nourishing. And they said, who shall give us flesh to eat? God says, if that's what you want, that's what I'll give you. But what do we find that the rest of that verse say? But sent leanness unto their soul. What's God trying to teach us? We ought to be content with the will of God. Be content with the direction God is leading us in. We get so discontented with what we're doing or the direction we're going or what it is we have. And we end up having leanness unto the soul. In other words, life is not really fulfilling. What do I say to you this morning? Find the perfect will of God and do it. He will pay your way. Or take the permissive will of God and you will pay your own way. Really, the choice is yours. When I think of the perfect will of God, I'm going to start with a list, but I'm only going to go to the first one. I believe it's probably the most important of all that we can have. And first on that list is salvation. Did you know that it's the perfect will of God for all men to be saved? I don't care what the Calvinists say when they say that God only died for just a few people and the rest of them he predestines to go to hell. Because my Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. But in 2 Peter chapter 3, listen to what God says. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward. He's patient to us. Not willing that any should perish. Did you catch the word willing? He's not willing that we perish, but that all should come to repentance. God wants us to come to a place of repentance. That's his will. And the initial place for that, I believe, is in repenting of our sin and turning to the Savior. The will of God we find in the book of Timothy is that all men might be saved. Do you know it's God's will for you to get saved? If you're sitting here this morning and you're stubborn and rebellious against the Word of God and against what God has shown us in his book, you're out of the will of God. You can't even pretend to be in the will of God until you first of all receive him as your Savior. Amen. That's where it begins at. And then, Christian, we come to the Word of God and we find that it has so many principles and dictates for us that if we will follow those, God will pay for it. Let me give you a thought. I have seen God multiply what I have had left after giving to him. He pays for me to give. Does that make sense? I can't outgive him. God is a wonderful God. The perfect will of God is to find out what he wants you to do. Where are you going to find that out at? couple of places. One's the Word of God. God will sometimes use people in your life. God will sometimes use circumstances in your life. And by all means, the Spirit of God will direct you in any of those. He's the teacher of the Word, amen? He's the one who leads us into those spots that we might make sense of it. And so God has a spot for us to follow after. But oftentimes what happens, we want to go a different direction. We want something different. And we say, God, I want that. God says, okay. But leanness comes to the soul. There's no fulfillment in self-gratification. There's only fulfillment in gratifying God. It begins with salvation. And it continues throughout all the sanctification process as He leads you in your life. I trust that you will take some note and stock of that. In some ways, we will finish this message tonight, especially in the area of sanctification. But before we even consider any more thoughts that way, let's bow our heads in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for Your perfect will. As You came and created these worlds, as You slung the stars and the moons and the planets all into the heavenlies, and the vastness of it and yet the uniqueness of it. Lord, how You formed this earth and brought about all that our eyes can behold. As You made these bodies of ours, though because of our sin they become sickly and inoperable, yet they are fearfully and wonderfully made. Your will was for us to live eternally. And evidently, with the Garden of Eden expanding with the population. Lord, I pray that You help us this morning to surrender to Your perfect will, to follow Your word, not our own desires. For You'll give them, but there be leanness of the soul. Work in our hearts. Lord, I'm sure in this room there are those who need to be saved. I'm sure, Lord, that there are some of Your people that right now they're experiencing leanness in their soul. There's discontentment. Perhaps even discord in their life. Lord, they might see and turn to the perfect will of God. We get so complainative and so argumentative with You, and we fail to see the marvelous manna that You have for us that is satisfying and brings fatness to the soul. Bless and work in hearts and life, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.